This week on the Steph Podcast Show, I am interviewing Joe Gillis from Beyond Geek. Say what's up, Joe.
What's up, Joe?
Hilarious. Hilarious. This character.
It's not all going to be that.
Cool deal. So we're having a good time right now, and it's going to continue to be a good time. We're going to be talking about Beyond Geek, comics, fandom, all kinds of stuff. Just sit down, watch, listen. Not watch. This ain't on YouTube. But just listen and have a good time. All this and more on this week's episode of The Steph Podcast Show. Welcome to The Steph, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. Hello, everyone. This is Ian Walker of The Steph Podcast Show. I'm back again this week with a brand new episode. I have sitting across from me a cool guy from Beyond Geek, which is a television show on PBS. I keep forgetting something broadcasted, public broadcast system, right?
Yeah.
So public broadcast system and also on Amazon Prime if you catch it there. He is the host of that show and one of the producers and writers and editor. You just everything, aren't you?
I do everything on the show now. Yeah. But and if you watch the first two seasons, I'm actually not in it at all.
We'll see that.
But I am hosting an episode now, though.
Awesome. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But this is Joe Gillis. So thanks for coming on the show, dude. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome, man. So you brought me some cool swag. It's an XL t-shirt, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I could definitely wear this. So, yeah, this is my size.
Sweet.
Has a Beyond Geek logo on there, which is cool. You got that Star Trek writing feel on there, which is neat. Because I'm a Trekkie.
Yeah.
I see all things Shrek.
I understand.
Yeah.
If you look at the poster of every season so far, you'll see an Enterprise.
See? That was
that's
neat.
Season I'm looking two.
At the,
yeah.
I'm looking at the
season
little
one, flip it around to the other side, and you'll see it's another car that's an Enterprise.
Oh, what?
Also.
Okay. Fellow Trekkie. See, that's what's up.
Oh, yeah.
Neato. So, I want to talk more about the show, Beyond Geek. What is the full-on premise of the show? You just talked about how there wasn't nothing like it on TV that you saw. You want to create something. How did you go about this whole process of Beyond Geek?
Well, I wanted to do something. Initially, I'll be honest, it started off a little bit different. I was going to do something where there was a lot more things in each episode, to where we had that. But as I started going in to film the actual show, I realized that I wanted to give these things more time. And I realized I could and do it more justice. And so what it became is something where we delve into a new thing every episode and we really dive into it. It's something where I wanted to do something where I had sort of that fish out of water with the host. The host really have never done this. They get thrown into it and they get to learn how to do it from the people that actually do this thing.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool because you're bringing in the people that are super passionate about it, which I love.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do it. It's because the coolest thing about the show is you get to see all these people that are super passionate about what they do. And you get to hear why they do it. Because some of the things sound a little, you know, on the crazy side.
Right.
You know, we have an episode where people dress up like superheroes and go out there and fight crime, do good in their communities.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that one because I want to know some stuff about that. Yeah.
So, you know, some of the stuff seems a little out there, but that's the cool thing about diving in and giving it time. You can now have an episode about someone who tries to float to space in a balloon and explain off why that makes sense as opposed to just going, what? And so
this ain't Up. What are you doing?
And so it's one of those things where the show started evolving into something where it became we dived in deeper, threw the host into it, and it's sort of a part mostly documentary but part reality, because basically we explain what it is, how it came about, you know, why these people are doing it. But then we go and do it with them. And so that's where you never know where it's going to go. Sometimes it turns out bad. Sometimes great. Sometimes your host wants it to be awesome, like Sage Michael, who was he was in the superhero episode, but he did another one about medieval combat with foam swords, you know, Dagger, Belagarth, Amgard thing.
Right.
And he's going out there, and he's just trying his hardest. And he really was trying hard, but he never got that good.
Wow, man.
You know, he would get beat by everybody. And he was trying so hard. But for me, that was still entertaining. I was just like, this works.
Yeah, every time
we
get pelted dead in the chin, it's nerf or nothing. Yeah. You're like, just getting mobbed on, dude. Poor guy.
And that's the cool thing about the show is this stuff's a little bit more real, I think, than you'll get a lot of times. We took and... In the second season, one of my hosts, Brittany, she got out and actually she did a pro wrestling episode. And she actually did a match live. It was really happened. And you don't see necessarily the full match on the episode just because we don't have enough time. But it's not really cut down because of anything. It was just live. It happened.
That is awesome.
And so that's what we do. Most of the time, there's some live component. There's some aspect to where it just happens, and it may be good or bad.
Right.
And right now, I'm currently actually hosting a special for the show that we're doing, and it's turning out probably more bad than good. But in terms of me doing it.
Okay.
We're going to be doing where I'm actually becoming a mermaid. A merman, really.
A merman.
Yeah.
No, you're not becoming a merman. He's becoming Namor.
Yeah.
Get it right. He's got the hair and the beard for it, folks. You guys should see this guy. Dashing. Yes. So you're becoming a merman, okay?
Yeah.
Where'd that idea come from?
Well, I've been wanting to do it since the first season. I've known about people who go out there and they're full on mermaids, you know?
And you saw Patrick Duffy and you were just inspired ever since.
And so I was just sitting there. It was something I found interesting, but I just hadn't done it yet because, you know, it's hard. One of the things I've been trying to do with each season is not have a lot of the same.
Right.
And so it's there's a lot of cool World War II things, but I've done one episode. I don't want to have all World War II. Like the second season, there's no World War II.
Right.
Even though there's a lot of really cool stuff to deal with it. So when it comes to dealing with reenacting or various other type things, I just try to spread it across where there's more of a diverse amount of episodes within the season to where it didn't quite fit in. So now it's finally fitting in and I'm finally doing it. You know, it was one of those things where I like to break the gender barrier. As you know, Brittany, she went and she did the pro wrestling episode.
Right.
I really wanted a male to do this episode. And it was one of the things where actually none of my male hosts could do it for some various reasons that are, you know, for themselves. I don't know how much they want out there in the world, so I'm not going to talk too much about it.
Right.
Nothing negative with us in the show.
No, of course.
But they couldn't do it, so I wanted to have a male do it. Brittany would have nailed it and been awesome.
Right.
But I really wanted to come from a male perspective. Right. I wanted to show it was okay for a guy to do this.
And you've already seen it before.
Yes.
If Brittany were to do it, it would have been something everyone has seen before. But like, oh, she's so sweet. Oh, but look, she's so pretty.
And she's a dancer's background, so she's really good at this stuff, man. She would put me to shame. She'd make me look so bad, it's not even funny. But so it's been one of those things where I was going to do a different episode in the current season we're trying to get going just for a different reason.
Right.
And I was just like, well, I need a male host. And this all came down when we had things lined up and I just couldn't change things. So, I'm going to have to do it. It's stuff I want to do anyway, so I might as well do it.
Yeah.
And if I'm bad at it, so what? I throw other people in it that may or may not be good or bad at it. Yeah. So I might as well take the hit myself.
And anybody can say whatever they want. You went out there and did it.
Oh,
you tried it. So that gives you more props than anybody out there who can say, man, you out there dressing up like a little mermaid fish man. You shut up. Hold your tongue. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, it's actually pretty awesome if you try it. Or, I mean, me, personally, I would never dress up like that. That's just me. But I'm good. I'm good right here. I'm good.
That's why it's important that I do it.
You represent, man.
You got to show that it's okay for a dude to do it.
Exactly. You know? But also, black folk don't go in the water.
Well,
That's why, no.
That's why you should do it.
I put myself out there. Hey, guys, I'm a bird. Dang. First time. Like, get out of the water. He drowned and died. Oh, my goodness. No.
Well, it's awesome because when you start doing it, the first thing they go is, you know, I'm being trained by Rachel, this awesome mermaid Rachel.
Right.
And she's just awesome, and she's training me. First thing she goes, okay, you got to go down and you got to let your breath out. I'm like, what?
Why would I do that?
That makes no sense, right?
It'd be like, new coach.
Yeah, I know.
You. Hey, Rachel, you're wonderful. Except for that part.
Yeah, but it's what you have to do. So it's I'm sitting there thinking, man, I have to fight against everything.
Right.
That makes sense to me to do this.
Now, the first time you did it, how much water you go in? You'd be like, okay.
Well, the bigger problem is you're supposed to let it go for buoyancy. And
really,
I was floating on the water. You know, you're talking about my name, Joe Gillis. Right. I look like I was straight out Sunset Boulevard at the end, floating there, dead, just floating in the water.
Yeah. So that's funny. You said it helped with buoyancy? It helps you to float when you don't have the air?
Well, you need enough air out to be able to be underwater and to swim underwater.
Really?
Yeah. And believe it or not, even though I fought her on it,
right,
you still have air. But I didn't, it goes against all things natural.
Right, exactly. Our instinct. Be like, I'm supposed to have air. You want me to get it out? No, thank you, miss. Like I said, man, I'd have walked in. She'd be like, okay, go inside and take out all your air. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to drink this bottle of water. And that's the closest thing to water I'm going to have. I'm out. Have a good one.
Well, it was an interesting episode for me because you're talking about that type of stuff. Well, me, I sort of have a fear of water. Because when I was a kid, I nearly drowned one time where some kids pushed me into a pool in the deep end. We were all alone. It was only us. We were probably, if I remember correctly, we snuck into someone's backyard to go swimming.
Dude.
And so no adults knowing this. They were playing around. They just thought it would be fine. But it sort of knocked the wind out of me. I think I started gulping the water. Oh. And all I was doing was fighting
for air
and for my life at that point. And then they finally realized, oh, he's not playing around with the flailing part. And then they helped me get out and stuff. So for me, it's when she's sitting there telling me to get rid of all my air.
You're flashing back to that.
I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, but it turned out okay.
Would you say you got over it? It helped you a little bit more with your fear? Are you totally over it now? Where were you at?
I don't know if I'm totally over it, but it definitely helped me. I got in and started doing it, and she's such a great coach, and she was super helpful at teaching me. And also, she has all the skills to save me. She was a lifeguard, or is technically, so she could save me if I didn't. So I felt sort of comfortable being able to push the envelope with her because I knew she would grab me. I said, hey, if I start dropping. And, you know, I'm not responding. It's time to pull me out.
Right. You gonna get me, right, girl? You gonna have me up in this little water floating around. I don't need no bodies in here. But, no, that's good. Would you say, so based on that experience, how would you, in concerns with getting over fears and things, that's what I'm saying. What did you learn from that experience in regard to getting over fears and all that?
Well, it's a twofold fear because I also, in a public swimming pool, had to put on a mermaid tail and do it too.
Okay.
You know, but that actually wasn't too bad. I usually don't mind. You just sometimes you got to get past though.
Uh-huh.
You got to get past. I've dressed up before, and when you dress up, sometimes you get a little self conscious. You sort of got to get past it. Once you get past it, it's fun.
Right.
And it's great.
Right.
You just got to get sort of past that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key for everybody that wants to go out and do things like cosplay or do any of this other fun stuff is sometimes you just got to check your brain at the door.
Yeah.
Go do it. Enjoy it. Have fun.
Yeah.
You get past these fears.
Right.
And sometimes you got to confront fears.
It might
be something where you also have a fear of talking, communicating with people. And what's great about going and doing a lot of these type of things where you get into a community is that they sort of pull you in and they become your new family.
Right.
And they're very supportive in not just the mermaid community, but any of these communities right. that we've done episodes on. Everybody's extremely supportive of each other. They want to go out there and just have fun. Even something where you're fighting with foam-padded weapons. right. You're out there fighting, and you're fighting against this person, but they want you to be as good as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll help you
right.
get better. And it's awesome because they all support each other, even if they're, like, on opposing teams.
Right.
And it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the key to most of that stuff, too, especially if it's something you've never done before. The results will probably be a lot different if instead of just having that one person, than if you have a community. Because if you didn't have a community that could really back you, that has been there, that's going through the same exact things, and it's a bunch of people instead of just the word of one person, you know, it does make it a lot better. You know,
it definitely does.
Yeah.
And part of the reason we do what we do with the show mm-hmm. is because there's a lot of areas where there may not be those communities. I mean, all right. this stuff is across the globe that we cover for the most part. The guy's trying to get to space in a balloon. That's pretty much here in Rancho Cordova. That's sort of by itself. Great, great, great group of people. JPL Space. Love them. But the vast majority of the stuff you can find all across the globe, wherever you're at, you can right. go do. And that's the cool thing, is you can join in and start doing this. And that's what I'm trying to encourage people to do, is yeah. to go out there. If you like what you're seeing, go out there and do it.
Right.
Worst comes to worst, people watch it and they hopefully get a sense of who these people are and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm sure there's people that tune in for the giggle factor at first and then they realize it's right. it's awesome.
Right. And that's why I like the idea of the show so much, because, like you said, a lot of times people don't have an insight into the type of mind that wants to do this type of thing. And really, the mind that wants to do this is a very creative mind. And because of the stigma, because of the, you know, the regulations of society and what they impose on people, they say people lose their imaginations. People lose their childhood, you know, childlike attitude inside. So having a show like yours is cool because it allows them to see that creative side and, you know, quite possibly could spark something on in them too, to be like, you know what, that would be kind of neat to, you know, maybe try that one day or something, or that one thing if they have a family or kids, you know, that one thing their son keep bugging them to do, you know, they'll probably actually then give it a shot after watching the show and realizing, okay, well, it's not all that bad. Maybe I could give it a shot.
Yeah, that looks fun. Well, yeah. Go do it. It is fun. And you may not do it in the same way we're doing it.
Right.
You know, you may not be, let's say, in a community that has an Hamp Guard or a Daga here or a Billigarth or, mm-hmm. you know, you may have to, you might be putting on a pool noodle on a PVC pipe and going out there and creating your own boffer and throwing some duct tape on it. And
right.
that's what you know to do. And you're going out there and just having some fun with your friends.
There it is.
That's the cool thing. You can right. do that, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I hope people get past that. Because I remember when I was young, I was in junior high. I was still playing with my G.I. Joes and Star
right.
Wars figures. And I just remember this girl walking up to me and just making fun of me. And that was sort of like where I, the forced, you got to stop playing with these.
Right.
Time. And and I had that on multiple levels on things I did.
Mm-hmm.
I remember showing up the first day and I had a Rambo shirt on and some dude walked up to me and made fun of me. And he's like, what are you, a little kid? You're stupid. And did it in front of the whole PE class. And everybody
right.
laughed. Stuff like that sucks.
Right.
And it's disheartening.
Right.
But that's sort of what we got to try to break as a society. We got to go, hey, it's okay to do this stuff.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with doing this
right.
stuff. It's okay to still have fun. You know, I always thought my parents were old and probably had no fun at all. But I bet you that's not how it was.
right.
Because I'm older now.
Right.
And I
right.
sit there and look at it and go, I don't think I'm a stick in the mud.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they weren't either. But it's sort of that we got to get that perception
right.
that we're all super serious and we don't do this stuff.
No, I'm an adult now.
Yeah,
I don't play with childish things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pull out your Legos.
Right.
Freaking build something. It's okay once I have a kid.
You know what's great? You know what's so funny about that? Me and a few of my friends, we get together, do cool stuff. She had an idea. Her name is Daisy. Shouts out to Daisy. She said, hey, we should have a Lego party. I used to play with Legos as a kid. and I used to build Starship Enterprises. Why I'm a Trekkie? So, but she said, we should have a Lego party. I said, what, do you want to invite kids or something? Or because I thought she's going to be like, oh, invite kids and do it. Because if that was the case, I was like, I'm out. But she's like, no, we're just all adults. We'll just play. I said, that's awesome. Count me in. Because that is super cool. I mean, yeah, they're not pleasant when you step on them as an adult.
No.
Not at all. You throw them out. You know, you get mad instantly. You know, the instant
anger.
A lot
of bleeping.
Yeah. But when you're in that and building something, I'm all about that imagination sparking up. And, you know, as adults, that's, I think, is something that's really needed. I mean, you can't forget, you know. And I don't want to encourage hardcore Peter Pan syndrome, but when I'm, because there has to be balance.
Well, yeah, there has to be balance. You have to be able to have a shelter. You have to be able to eat.
Yeah,
you
exactly,
need all these things.
Pay your bills first.
But
then go and have your fun.
Still have fun.
Yeah. And it's the best time to do it when you're an adult because you have the money to do it.
Oh, that's
like
the greatest thing.
Yeah.
So. I can now afford to actually do the stuff I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I get to build a real lightsaber versus having, my gift wrap, tube thing, because that worked probably just as good as our lightsabers we could go buy at the store.
Right. The plastic
you
one
know?
From Hasbro.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Why they haven't taken their gift wrap, and you can steal this, Disney, and freaking have it be a lightsaber underneath with just the color of the wrapper, so it should be like a painted like a lightsaber. So it's like a red or a blue tube at one point with like maybe a grayish handle at the other. So we just have our built-in lightsaber when we freaking pull out the wrapping paper, because you know however old you are, you're gonna straight up, once you're done wrapping, that thing
genius,
is, you're
actually.
Gonna sit there and use those like a lightsaber. I don't care how old you are.
At the
you
end,
know?
You talk about the hard cardboard tube just be like a lightsaber. That'd be awesome, actually.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
That's cool.
Go ahead and rip that off, Disney.
They'll take it.
Yeah, so like you did with the Daredevil mask.
Right. No, oh, snap. Yeah, we'll go back to that one. So kind of, that's a good segue, actually, because I wanted to go into... Because I saw a clip, unfortunately, I wasn't able to look at the episode because I don't got Amazon Prime. Don't make the same mistake, guys. But I have always been fascinated. I mean, I love superheroes. That is my biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the movement of real-life superheroes started happening in the last, 10, 15 years.
Yeah. Well, it's been going on longer than that, but
but I mean, made
but
mainstream.
But really, it's a little bit bigger.
You know, mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, you're Phoenix Jones. So I was like, that's awesome. You know, that dude's cool. You had quite a few others too. So when I saw that you had that on Beyond Geek, and you had one of the hosts on there dressing up. I mean, I'm looking at this guy right now, but he looks dope.
You know, that's the cool
thing. He looks awesome.
When we first started with the first season, people were looking at a lot of these groups we were contacting didn't necessarily want to do it because they get made fun of a lot.
Right.
And they don't want to be in that environment where they're being made fun of. Well, I specifically didn't want to do my show to be in that environment, you know?
Right.
So it was one of those things where we dress up like them. And even as a camera crew, we sometimes do. When we were doing the World War II episode, we're all dressed in the World War II gear out there in the uniform, helmet, everything out there. And then because we're in the middle of a battle, these guys are having fun.
Right.
You got to be a part of the illusion.
I hope y'all didn't bust a Game of Thrones, though. You know, you guys out there in World War II gear with your advanced camera stuff, and you catch a picture and be like, wait, Custer didn't have a Panasonic camera. What is that? You know?
Well, it's funny. A lot of these groups will allow that part, but they won't allow certain things. So when we actually, in season two, we did pirate reenactors, and they agreed to let us come into this one event they do every year where it was just this private event, but there's no electricity, there's no nothing. They're all, if you can light it with candles, you're okay to be in there. Your cameras can be in there, but that's it. You don't get to bring in any lights. And anyone who knows anything about video is
light
is sort of friendly. It's sort of a needed thing. So we went in there, and we actually there's a point where one of the interviews I'm holding a candelabra right in there to be able to light the people talking. So the whole end of that episode's all lit by candlelight, and we're all dressed up like pirates. The whole crew's dressed up like pirates. We get out there and do it. When we did battle gaming, it was the same thing. We all dressed up in the medieval garb when we were out there.
Oh, you guys did some LARPing? That's
awesome. Yeah. So when we were doing that, we would dress up. just like everybody else there to try to help because they're out having fun.
Right.
They're letting us come in to their fun.
Right.
So for me, right. I would tell the crew, hey, we're going to dress up and we're going to do that. So anytime where it's like an event or something like that, we're usually right in there with them.
Yeah. And that's cool too, man. Cause I mean, one, you're showing respect to the people and what they're doing, you know, what's helping them feel more comfortable.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're not stuck with that. Every time they look at you guys, you know, they got a reminder of, you know, oh, real life people, you know, or the whatever stigmas or whatever things they were made fun of about, you know, every time they look. So you guys dressing up, that's along with them is cool because it kind of shows that you're with them while doing it, which is neat.
Yeah.
But you mentioned how, you know, them doing the real life super, or, you know, World War II reenactments and stuff and LARPing. It's all fun. But real life superheroes, man.
That's real.
That's real, dude. So,
yeah.
First off, how did you get your crew into the mindset to be like, because real talk, I mean, that stuff's there. I mean, I'm sure there's a fun aspect to it, of course.
There is, but it's very serious. Our actual costume has a bulletproof vest on it. Yeah. We actually built it. So Odin Abbott, who does Odin Makes,
right.
He actually built that. So Odin and I sat down and I told him what I was looking for. And we sat down and talked about the costume and what we needed for elements. And all the elements are real world stuff. So there's stuff that you want to do as a superhero normally because it looks cool. But then when you start breaking it down, it doesn't quite work.
Right.
Like I was joking about them stealing the helmet for Daredevil.
Right.
Well, if you look at season one, Matt Murdock's ears are covered.
Right.
Season two, they are not. In fact, his helmet looks nearly identical to ours to how it's built and everything to the point where we had a head sock on ours. He has a head sock on his, and that's exactly what they did because it makes zero sense otherwise.
Right.
We build ours for real world, and that's how you need to hear. Matt Murdock, that's how he sees.
Right.
So he sort of needs to hear. So they started building it more for reality in season two. And that's sort of the thing. You start looking at things like the eyes. You know, you need a little bit more peripheral vision than you might have in a normal costume. But all our stuff was built very practical to the point where underneath the cool looking superhero physique is an actual bulletproof vest. His gloves he's wearing can handle knives. And everything like that. Well, it's real. What you're going out there and doing this is real. Yeah. Now, there's camera guys around and everything else like that, or camera gals and sometimes. But the thing is there's a crew out there, but beyond that, it's real. We went at one point or another in San Diego during the San Diego Comic-Con. We actually had to go in there and break up a fight that was about to escalate. It was more of a verbal thing at the time.
Right.
Some dude being a heck of racist. And those guys just immediately went in. We were with the Extreme Justice League. They were taking us around in San Diego and we went right in there. And that stuff's real. You know, there's no, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if someone's going to pull out a gun.
Right.
That's why you know, if you're going to do something like this, you got to be really know what you're doing. You don't just play around with this. This isn't a point around thing. That's why most of the time, most of what they do is they'll jump in when they need to, because you got to do that as a human being. If someone's, if you're watching someone get the crap beat out of them, step in.
Right.
You can't just call the police and wait, you know?
Right.
So you got to be prepared for that. But you're really what you're trying to do is contact the police.
Right.
And more importantly, you walking around sort of deters crime. And that's part of the reason you're wearing a superhero outfit.
Right.
You know these guys are walking around. You know that they're there. Their presence is known.
Yeah.
Because when you see them, you're like, oh, dang, what's this dude dressed up like a superhero for?
Yeah, it's true. So you said you're with the Extreme Justice League. Now, I mean, are they pretty very, very well known in San Diego?
Yeah. Well, like no, beyond that, Mr. Extreme, he's, you know, he's been in some other documentaries and stuff like that. He's pretty well known. The Extreme Justice League is one of the bigger groups.
Right.
Out of all of it. So, you know, we went and we got trained by this guy, Night Owl, in Portland. And that's how we got trained. We went around Portland and got trained in Portland, Oregon. And then we went down to San Diego during Comic-Con because every year real-life superheroes get together for something they call HOPE, where they go out and actually give food and items to the homeless community.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
In San Diego.
Yeah.
So they get together a bunch of stuff for the people out there that are down and out on their luck, and they go out and hand it out and try to help out a little. And they do that every year during Comic-Con. Because in the middle of Comic-Con going on, there's still a bunch of people suffering.
Right, right, right. You can't forget.
Yep.
Now, who is in this suit, and what was his name?
Sage Michael is in the superhero suit.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he actually had the most experience on anything we've done for dealing with something. He actually knew a lot of the real-life superheroes because he wrote a book about it, but he'd never done it, and that was the big key, because I wouldn't have let him do it if he had done it before.
Okay.
He had gone out and helped get food together for handing out. He had talked to him about all that stuff, and
right.
You know, he was more on the side of not dressing up because
right.
You know, he was being a hero without wearing a cape.
Heroes don't need capes.
Yeah. 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 And okay. So that's how he was doing it, and he never went out on patrol, never really did any of that type of stuff. So this was the first time doing it. He took it very serious too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool, man. And what did he call himself?
Well, we ended up calling him the Black Guardian. And the reason is because we put the BG on the chest of the outfit because Beyond Geek.
And then, that works, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was the real reason. But then we, at the end of the episode, we go and actually visit some kids that are in the hospital at Shriners Hospital in Portland. And someone mentioned to me, I forgot who, but they're like, yeah, you know, they're probably going to ask what he's called.
His name is, yeah.
Yeah, what his name is. And so we had to come up with something, and okay. We're like, well, now it's got to be BG.
Yeah.
Yeah, Black Guardian. So Black Guardian is who he officially is.
That's cool. That's a dope looking suit, man. It actually looks like you said, it looks functional and everything. I know that dude was hot in that thing, though.
Oh, extremely.
Burning up.
Yeah, when we'd get back and we were heading to some other thing at the end of the day, he'd be trying to tear it off way too quickly. We'd be like, slow it down, man.
Yeah.
You're going to wreck the outfit. Let's slow it down, because he was super hot because it was summer. He was out there.
Oh, he's out in the daytime, too.
Yeah. Well, that's when you go out in San Diego. It's during daytime. And then we went out patrolling the streets at night, which was nicer in San Diego. But Portland was warm.
Really?
Yeah. And crazy. He had to go out there and do that in that outfit. And those guys, when they go out there and do it, a lot of them are doing it in the same type of stuff. They're all wearing, bulletproof vests and stuff like that, because it's real.
Yeah.
It's not something to take lightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That is so cool, man. That is cool. Now, is that something you think you would be doing again? You'd ever do again if you had the chance?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to say too much, but that will hopefully be an episode in the third season.
Okay.
Rarely do I want to revisit things per se, because, you know, we want to do some new stuff.
Yeah.
But some stuff came up to where I thought
I came
up with a good idea of how to
that is straight that. Real, though. I could see why you want to, you know, it's less about, you know, it is fun, it's cool, but you're doing something where it actually impacts other people.
Surprisingly, I don't think it's so much as fun as much as the impacting people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you go out there and there are a lot of people that were nice to us, but we got made fun of a lot.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Be like, okay, well, go ahead across the street. This guy beating up on this girl. Go ahead and stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Sit back and watch.
But
no, I didn't think so.
There were a lot of people that really appreciated it. And
right.
You go out there to be, they're essentially like your neighborhood watch,
right,
but dressed up like superheroes.
How did the police handle the real life superheroes? That's something I do, because it is a form of vigilantism by a technical law, you know, according to the law.
But how do they?
I mean, they always, I know the real life superheroes always turn over to the police, no matter what. They call them and they hold them to the, like I've seen Phoenix Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He will call the police first, and then he goes and jumps in and holds for citizen or arrest and all of that.
Yeah, because
but how does that go with you guys when you guys were?
Well, I can tell you for a fact we rolled up on cops, and I can tell you for a fact that they were really cool about it. In fact, it's in the episode where a couple cops pull up in a old school paddy wagon, And they were excited to see us. And
dude,
they thought it was
awesome,
great.
Man.
And when I was in Portland, I thought some, because I have to get film permits to go do this stuff.
Right.
And so we're sitting in Portland, and some cop calls me over while we're filming and gets me to come over. And I walk over and I go, yeah, do you need to see my film permit? They're like, no, I'm just curious what you're doing. This looks so awesome. And I told them about it. And they're like, that is so cool.
You know? That's neat.
Yeah, so I actually know the police, because I thought there was going to be something like that. When I first
right.
started doing the episode, we were looking at that perspective. And then
right.
we started finding out that initially it was sort of that, but now they're pretty cool about it, because those guys aren't going out there and really handling it by themselves.
Right.
They're in groups. They don't go out by themselves usually, because you really don't want to unless you know.
Yeah.
But
unless you're Batman.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah. But
yeah.
They typically go out with groups, and so they end up someone's calling while someone's going and acting. You know, if you need to, you know, you're not trying to go confront people to confront people. When we were taught rolling up to that dude being a total racist dude, you had to at that point before it
right.
escalated.
Of course.
And that's where they no hesitation, immediately go over there and try to help someone, you
right.
know, because it was going to an escalation. And so they step in when they need to. But for the most part, they're really just trying to be out there and they're hoping for nothing to happen.
Right.
They're hoping for a boring night where they just walk around the streets. But I think by them doing it, it is making a boring night on the streets, because they're going out there and you can tell what they're doing.
Right.
People know what they're doing. And so in these communities, they're helping on that side of things. And then if someone does need help, they're willing to step in and do it. And so that was one of my episodes I just loved doing, because everybody there was just awesome and great people.
That is neat, man. What were you called?
Well, me, I didn't dress up.
You didn't dress up?
No, no.
If you do it again, will you dress up?
Oh, I'm going to wear my outfit.
You know.
Yeah. Got to make the helmet a little bit bigger, because Sage has like a small little head, man.
Yeah, yeah, don't say that. We want to see it. I want to see that debut. I would like to come back out here and see once it's done. Get a pick on that on the gram. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, man, that'd be dope, man. Well, that's awesome. So what kind of stuff are you into?
So I'm into pretty much a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I love Star Trek,
yes.
Star Wars, comic books.
Uh-huh.
I'm into all sorts of different things. There was stuff. I obviously love movies and television.
Right.
Just because that's the nature of the beast. That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
But I truly, that's how I get a check out at the end of the night.
Thank you.
To enjoy it. And I love all things geek, man.
Escapism.
But that's what's also fun. I also like the possibility of going out there and doing stuff too.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I don't always get out there and do a whole lot. You
right.
know, I'm just that part of the suckiest thing about being an adult, you got to be responsible and do all the other stuff you got to
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
So it's for me, I'm a lot of times working. So I don't get to necessarily get the time to go focus in and do some of the stuff I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what's great about trying to create something like this TV show, Beyond Geek,
right.
where I get to now jump into that universe. Even in work at the same time,
yeah.
you know, and get to do that. So, but my primary loves are reading books, comic books,
okay.
and watching movies and TV, and going out there every so often and doing some of the stuff.
Okay, so we're in that time. By the time this episode is up, Endgame will probably be out for a while. But you know, I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
What did you think?
You know. I liked it. No, I totally, no, I'm a big Marvel guy, man.
Right.
My favorite comic book growing up was Spider-Man, followed by X-Men, Daredevil, and Iron Man. You know, it's like, I knew who these dudes were before they were cool. Daredevil,
right.
I'd been waiting for them to do them right.
Oh,
sometimes
gosh.
They don't do them always right.
Let me tell you something. I have such a beef with the first Daredevil film.
Oh, I think a lot of people do.
Oh, my gosh. You know, the only cool thing about that movie was Michael Clark Duncan as Kingpin.
Yes.
I thought he was the most amazing choice as Kingpin ever.
They've done, I think, a good job on Kingpins.
Yeah, he was amazing. You know? But then you get Ben Affleck in his members only jacket. My man Dave's going to hear this. He's going to be like, here he goes. But it looks like a members only jacket. It's like the worst designed costume ever. It looks like a tracksuit with a members only jacket on. It looks terrible.
It looks a little bit better, though, than the devil on Incredible Hulk. You know, when that.
No, okay. Hold up now. Because that was my first taste. The Trial of the Incredible Hulk. That was my first Incredible Hulk movie I ever saw. And that was the first time I ever seen Daredevil on film.
Okay.
And I loved that dude. He looked like a straight up ninja. You know? And he, you know, he straight up was just like, hey, I'm put on my sweats and stuff and a t-shirt. That's fine. But see, it had to have some kind of impact because Daredevil on Netflix, he was wearing the same thing. So, yeah.
Well,
I mean, it was cool.
I think Daredevil was much cooler in The Incredible Hulk than he was in his standalone movie. I thought, outfit-wise, though, it's nearly reaching the point of the original Spider-Man TV side.
Yeah, and then, too, you got to think, that was the 80s also.
Yeah.
So they didn't know yet. I mean, Lou Ferrigno was running around wearing a wig, dressed in green paint.
Yeah, and Lou's the man.
But it was like, thank you, he is the Incredible Hulk. Real life is a different story. But, you know, he's like, I had a bad experience with him, unfortunately. But, you know, it's okay.
Really? I met him once, and I got to find this picture. It's somewhere hidden away, and I got to find it. And I walked up to him with my brother, and I go, will you take a picture with us both under your arms like you have us in headlocks? And he said, yes, if you pay the $10. And I go, here you go. Here's your $10. Yeah. And so somewhere there's a Polaroid of me being in a headlock from Lou Ferrigno. And that was like a highlight of my day.
That's awesome. Yeah, That's cool. I probably caught him on a bad day. Maybe he was over it. I don't know. He probably had something going on, maybe. I chalked it up to that, maybe. Because I know it can be stressful, you know, being at cons all the time, you know, if that's...
Well, you get people like me asking you to headlock. Of course he's like tired of people like us. Like, he's like, not again.
Right.
Well, it's interesting. You go to these cons and it's one of those funny things because we got such a great community when it comes to geeks. But there's also a few guys that are like the bad apples out there.
Right.
Where they got to be... trolls.
The toxic fans.
And it was funny because I remember going to an X-Files convention and Chris Carter was up on stage and some dude's arguing with Chris Carter. And Chris Carter finally goes, hey, look, I get what you're saying, but here's the thing. I created it, so I know. It's like, not said, dude. But you're sitting there arguing with the creator of X-Files.
And that right there is where the dude should have got jumped. I mean, it's like... Bro, what are you doing? That's like sitting there arguing with Stan Lee over the Marvel Universe and why he shouldn't have made Spider-Man the way he was. Spiders really don't have webs that come out that way. If you look at it scientifically, dude, sit down.
Yeah.
We're done.
So you talk about Spider-Man. Here's a fun little fact on Spider-Man. So I'm a dork, okay? It's all good. I embrace it. It's all cool.
Own it.
So a buddy of mine was like, hey, man, I can get us on as extras when they were making the first Spider-Man movie. With
Tobey Maguire,
yeah.
Okay.
He's like, dude, I can get us on as extras. Do you want to go do it? And I was like, oh, heck yeah.
Heck yes.
But I'm used to – I'd already done some of my own stuff, so I'm used to just being busy all day when I'm on a set or something like that. And I'm just like an extra, which is like – that's as bottom as you sort of get on sets.
Right.
Not that they should be necessarily, but that's you're sort of at the bottom there. So we show up, and I just wanted to go hoping that I could see the outfit because at this point there had been no pictures of it at all.
Uh-huh.
And so we get there, and it's actually when they're doing the big World Fest with Macy Gray performing.
Oh, okay.
And it's actually the day Stan Lee was there, and it's funny because I really was trying to get towards Stanley, but I didn't. But here's the fun little thing. So Tobey Maguire, we're sitting in the stands just waiting all these extras, and he comes out. And I sort of wasn't all that impressed with Tobey Maguire. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, he decides, I'm going to change shirts in front of you guys just to get shirtless. And I'm sitting there watching the guy, and I go, oh, my gosh, he's got the body. He's real. And so he ends up actually photographing. And when he's taking those photographs at the beginning of that scene, he's actually photographing me. And I'm sitting there doing like the strongman poses and stuff, trying to get him busted up because I'm just bored out of my skull. I'm not going to freaking lie. I'm just not being cool.
Right.
So I'm sitting there just, you know, doing right. everything I can to be silly and
right.
see if I can get him to crack up.
Right.
Because he's got a point. And the guy's a trooper. Freaking
yeah.
doesn't crack up at all.
That's
but
funny.
It's great because when the concert starts and they go move me and I get to finally be an extra, I'm actually in the crowd. And I thought you couldn't see this at all, but you can actually see it. If you get a high-def version, you can see it. Tobey Maguire, actually, he walks right line of sight going towards the stage.
Right.
And he just rams me with his shoulder as he's walking by to check me on for
later for jacking up. That's awesome.
And you can actually, that is in the freaking film.
Really?
You see Tobey Maguire, I'm sitting there, you see a black hat moving around, I'm all dancing, enjoying myself. Wham! There's Tobey Maguire. But it's really small.
Funny.
It's really small, but it's there.
Hey.
And it was hilarious. When he walked back, he was like, he let me know. He's like, you deserve that, buddy. I was like, yeah, I did. It's all good.
That's good, man. That's a memorable thing for
yeah.
sure, man.
I didn't get to see him in the Spider-Man outfit. I got to actually see the Daily Bugle with the photo. You know,
cool.
So it was all cool.
Cool, cool.
But
so Endgame, what'd you think? What are your thoughts?
I think one of my buddies summed it up the best. It's the end of a massive book. It's the last chapter. And that, I think, is sort of how you have to look at it. If you're trying to jump on the Avengers Endgame bandwagon just because everybody thinks it's cool to go see, it may not be as good of a movie as if you watched all 22 films.
Yeah.
Odin
was saying as a movie by itself, it's not that great.
No.
But because there's so much more before it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're ending the saga, so.
Oh, and thank you for not putting in all the endings of Lord of the Rings, you know? It's like, man, at the end of that, all I was thinking was, I got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Like the 13th ending, I'm like, I'm good. I'm good.
Now,
let's just end this.
Like, can we please stop?
I really need to go use the restroom.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, did you think that the movie deserved 3 hours? I don't think it did.
It's a hard one. My wife, she thinks that it was a little drawn out at the beginning when things were a little tough.
Thank you. I feel the exact same way.
Me, I sit there and I go back and forth on it. It was one of those things where you want it long enough, and I'm sure the filmmakers were sitting there going, okay, what feels right?
Right.
And it may be a little longer than it's needed. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't feel that the same way I felt with The Hobbit,
right.
where I felt like that was dragging on a little bit longer than it needed to
right.
at points for me. But it definitely, I'm sure they could condense that down for a lot of people and make them pretty
right.
happy.
Yeah. I thought it took way too long for that. I understand we're supposed to feel the impact of what happened and all
mm-hmm.
of that. But I'm like, come on, they're superheroes. Like, they should be, from a comic book perspective and even realistically,
mm-hmm.
it's like half the population is gone. Y'all really sat up there and was crying for 5 years about everything. Y'all didn't try to rebuild nothing. What was y'all doing? Y'all was sitting up in I guess you call them TA meetings now, Thanos Annihilation meetings, you know, talking about feelings and stuff. It's like, come on now.
And now Ian's friends know exactly how it feels. He's like, when you die, dude, I'm going to get right over you. It's all going to be good. I'm like,
it's done. Done. Bye.
Sorry, buddy.
You shouldn't have been here. I mean, like, you should have been off world. Should have been in the quantum realm like Ant-Man.
Yeah.
He probably would have got snapped too, but he wasn't there. That's what he got saved. But no, but.
That's my favorite thing about the Marvel movies and the Marvel universe is they took a bunch of characters that were literally B characters because they sold off everything good.
They sure did.
And they turned them into great characters.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a perfect example.
Yeah.
No one knew who they were unless you were a hardcore fan.
Well, and if you're a hardcore fan, you know they're not the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
That was a whole different set of group of people in the first series.
Yeah.
You know, volume.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, no, that's a great example. I honestly wasn't sure if that movie was going to work.
Nobody did. Nobody did thought that movie was going to work, dude. No one did. And then they were like, and then the same thing with Ant-Man. When Ant-Man came out, I was like, Ant-Man, okay, here dude. It is. Here's the flop. Here's where it comes.
Uh-huh.
All right, this is going to fail. Nope.
No.
Amazing movie. I was just like, what?
Yeah, because no offense to Ant-Man, but he's not the coolest.
Ant-Man's not a cool character.
No.
Let's just not say no offense. No, Ant-Man is not cool. Ant-Man in the Marvel Universe, Cinematic Universe, cool dude.
Yeah.
They made him really cool.
In Thor, I'll be honest, I don't really care for Thor in the comic books, man.
Right.
Thor's just not my favorite dude.
Right.
The only reason I know anything about Thor or Loki usually is because they freaking always Marvel will put together, which I say it like it's a bad thing, but I love when they do it. They do these huge, massive cross storylines where you're crossing all these different comic books and you're pulling everybody in. And
so you
sort of have to read all these guys
if
you want to read the whole story. And it's one of those things where some of the characters, I'll be honest, I didn't know who Iron Fist was, with the exception of having him appear in one of those. And even then, to be honest with you, I didn't know he's a white dude.
You didn't know Iron Fist?
No, I didn't. I only saw him with his.
There were two.
With his top.
There were three Iron Fists. There was the.
See, you know more about Iron Fist than I do.
Yeah, there was an Asian dude at first.
Maybe that's the one I saw.
Right. Then there was Danny Rand, who was the white dude. And then there's the girl in the TV show on Netflix. She's the next Iron Fist.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, they weren't going to go there in that aspect. But,
Yeah, so, but when he has his actual, you know, mask on.
The full on,
He doesn't.
Yeah.
You don't know what race he is.
Exactly.
You know?
But Iron Fist on Netflix was the worst show.
Well, it's funny because I grew up where Saturday mornings were kung fu movies.
Right.
And you had Godzilla, Mega Man, you had all Ultraman, you had all these awesome shows that you'd watch on Saturdays.
Yep.
And so it's so weird that out of all the Netflix shows, that has like the worst fighting. It makes no sense to me.
The worst
fighting. Yeah, you got Daredevil. It's
terrible.
Just get Daredevil's dude to come in here.
I couldn't understand it for the life of me.
Yeah.
I'm like, did they even try to let the... He didn't even yoke up for the part. He looked like, you know what they look like? He looked like he picked him up from a college campus. Be like, hey, man, you want to be a superhero?
Heck yeah.
Hey, I guess I do. Hey, okay, so what we're going to have you do, we're going to have you go to the gym for about 5 months. You're going to buff up. You're going to run, and you're going to eat a lot of vegetables. After that, we're going to take you for the last 3 weeks. We're going to teach you some moves, and then we're just going to roll the camera.
Yeah.
And see what happens. That's what Iron Fist Season 1 looked like. Oh, every once in a while, we'll make your fist glow. It was like...
No, yeah, it was.
Really?
If anything, if they could have had the cool fight scenes, it would have been awesome.
Yeah.
It was lacking a little on the fight scene side.
Yeah, the girl was the coolest character.
Yes.
Like, she's a supporting character. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not. And she was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
Yeah, it was like Deep Space Nine Season 1 in terms of fighting. Really bad. But I love that show, man.
Deep Space Nine
got awesome, dude.
It did get awesome.
It has the best fight sequences. Starting season 3-ish.
Honestly,
it beats everything.
Yeah, it's the only Trek that has the most fighting in it.
Yeah.
Hand-to-hand combat.
I love Deep Space Nine. Yeah. It was great. When I first started out, I made a short film. I accidentally showed it to some Paramount execs, and they invited me down to give me a tour of Paramount Pictures. And
then they're like, cease and desist.
No. It was funny because the person rolls up on a golf cart, and they go, where do you want to go? And I'm like, the Star Trek sets.
Yep.
And they took us there, and that was so awesome to walk the promenade and walk in there, and possibly I'm pretty sure I broke something in Bashir's office when I walked in there. They're like, you're not supposed to be touching stuff. And me, I'm like, what's this do? What's this do?
Right,
what's this do?
Right.
What's this do? Because nobody's there to babysit me, really.
Right, right.
They for some reason gave me enough trust to walk this thing and not expect me to
like,
push every
happens,
button.
You've done this yourself. This is your fault. That is awesome, dude.
But I already had a love for that show. That's a show I think doesn't get quite the love in the Star Trek universe.
Yes, not so. I'm just about done binge watching it because I watch it every 2 years.
Uh huh.
and I'm on to the final season.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Gul Dukat has become a Bajoran.
Oh, nice.
So I'm at the end. Oh, okay. I'm approaching the end. You know, he's all about. He's an emissary of the Power Wraiths, and you know he's with Kai Wynn.
Uh huh.
You know he's with her now. So it's at the end, bro.
It's at the end.
And it is so good.
It's the best
Trek, man.
It has some of the best episodes, and somehow Tony Todd got to play two characters in some of the best episodes. But you know it's funny because Jay Baker, who was one of the shows I produced was Turf War. He actually was on Deep Space Nine.
Really?
Yeah. See if you recognize him from this picture. Let's see. I'll have to probably edit it. But that was that's Jay Baker. He actually went and helped save him one day on one of the episodes. And he goes in and...
Okay.
Yeah. And he actually... He seems like he's going to be a part of the show after that, and then they forget about him, and you never see him again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but he saved the day.
That's cool.
So it was fun talking to him about that. So.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trek is... DS9 was just an amazing show. Had the most richest lore in the show.
Yeah.
I so appreciated how they made the Ferengis somebody.
Yes.
Because the Ferengis, when we first saw the Ferengis, when we saw Quark for the first time, was on Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were this race that were trying to be the offshoot of the Klingons, but a sneakier version of the Klingons. It's like, you're looking at them, they're like, ain't nobody going to take that big-eared fool seriously, you know? You saw them in two episodes, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So I feel like they reached back and was like, okay, what are we going to do? To make these, same thing with the Bajorans, because the most Bajorans we saw was Ensign Ro from Next Generation, you know?
I was going to say is that you would appreciate this, though, is when we're walking the back lot at Paramount, I'm sitting there just walking along, and there comes a Cardassian full-on makeup and just all happy as go, just bouncing like,
yeah.
I'm just so happy to be alive. And,
right.
And I was just looking up and going, oh my gosh, that is so bizarre. My head was blowing up because, you know, the Cardassians aren't like that.
No.
And
they're not.
It was just hilarious
they're
to
not.
See.
Was it one of the famous Cardassians or was it one of the extra guys?
I couldn't tell who it was. Oh, okay. I was far enough away where I couldn't tell.
Like, yeah,
and
well,
I was
by Mark Elimo, you know, no big thing.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That'd be cool. That'd be so dope.
Yeah.
I always thought, you know who would make an awesome Cardassian? Would be, now I'm blanking on her. Oh, Marina Baccarin.
Okay.
Because she's already got the neck for it. She's already got the neck. I mean, she's a gorgeous woman, but she's already got the neck for it. I was like, she'd be a great Cardassian woman. DS9 is just completely unique, completely different.
Well,
but it still keeps the feel of what Trek is supposed to be.
Oh, yeah. It's still a thinking person show.
Very much so.
And, you know, it's actually interesting because when I was watching Endgame, I felt very much the actual thing I would compare Endgame to, believe it or not, is a Deep Space Nine episode. And it's the Troubles with Tribbles episode they did. And that's how Endgame sort of, big spoilers, you're just going to have to write on this spoiler
for
people.
No, you're right. No,
but,
like I said, if you ain't watching Endgame after this,
this is your fault.
It's your own fault. You've done this yourself.
Don't find me on the streets and beep me up, man.
The ban is lifted, so we good.
Yeah. but it definitely reminded me of that episode, which is one of the most brilliant episodes ever made on television.
Yeah. That was a great episode. He met Kirk and all. And the way they did it, I don't know how they got the clip. Their editor was a genius.
Oh, yeah.
A genius. I don't know how he figured that out, how to do that. But I'm just like, what?
I got to imagine the writers were sitting there writing the whole thing based on what they had. They're like, okay, we can make this work like this.
Yeah.
And this will work.
Had to.
Yeah.
That one.
But it was a puzzle that someone had to figure out that was brilliant.
Yeah. That episode, as well as, and I forget the name, I want to say it's called Beyond the Stars, where Sisko went into a coma and he was transported back to the 1930s or 40s. And he was a writer.
Uh-huh.
And he worked at a newspaper, a magazine. That was the best episode, in my opinion. That's my favorite episode, personally.
Well, in Deep Space, for me, it's hard. It's I want to say it's season 5 might be my favorite. I think that's the
season. Yeah,
I think that's with the 5. Tribbles. Yeah. And it also had, I think, the ones where Tony Todd was in it, where he plays Jake Sisko.
Yeah.
When he's older.
Yeah, yeah. And a girl visits him, yeah.
And he plays Worf's brother.
Worf's brother.
Which, by the way, are both Field of Dream episodes.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, I forgot about that one.
Where if you aren't tearing up a little in those,
dude,
you're emotionalist.
Yeah, the one where he plays Worf's brother, that was a jerk one. Because what he had to do at the end was just like, oh. You know, and then at the very end, to take away all his memories and then had to look at his brother. Uh-huh. One, he knew he was never going to see him again. And then had to change him into a completely different person. I mean, ugh, man, a brilliant writing.
Yeah.
Brilliance. It was just brilliance.
And Tony Todd somehow gets to play in
two
just absolutely phenomenal episodes. Yeah. Well, two different characters.
Yeah. Well, what's the name does the same thing. I don't know why the name Jeremy Irons is in my face, but he played Wayun, and he played Inquisitor Grand Inquisitor Brunt. That is the same actor.
Okay.
And Brunt is like my favorite character, favorite Ferengi in the whole show. Him and Rom, and Rom were like my two favorites. But when he's the Grand Inquisitor Brunt, bro, oh my gosh. And the episode where Quark is dressed up as a woman and the scene where he shows him, he goes, that is not a woman. I would be crying every time I see that. He's such a great actor, man. It was so good. Jeffrey Combs is his name.
That's his name.
Jeffrey Combs. He did so good with that.
And if we're wrong
man.
On it, you know what's great? Yeah. Is you're going to get a bunch of people telling you you're wrong.
Yeah, you're wrong.
From like the geek level, I can't remember the names of episodes and some of these things. There's people out there that could spout off the name, the this, the that. Man, your mind's way better than mine.
Yeah, you own it. Right?
I enjoyed it. Now, I'll tell you, Deep Space Nine also had the only explanation that should have ever been for Klingons, and that was in the Tribbles episode.
Thank you, right?
You know, that worked.
It was a great explanation and simple.
Yes.
It was like, evolution.
Well, no, we don't want to talk about it.
Right, right. But I mean, he said it but did it, and it's like, what happened? It's like...
I was like, done.
It was great.
You didn't even... I felt like that was a good explanation. You know, me as a Trek fan, I'm okay with the new movies. A lot of people aren't.
Right.
And the reason I'm okay is right out of the gate, they said, different timeline. I'm like, okay, I can just accept whatever.
That, yeah, that's fine.
You know?
But I think we accepted it more because we're comic book fans.
Yeah.
If you're not a comic book fan,
mm-hmm.
but you're a Trek fan...
Yes, it's a little harder.
It's a little bit harder because there's the side of science...
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of the hardcore Trek fans I notice are more into the sciencey aspect. And since time travel's not a thing, you know, they still kind of can't wrap their head around it. But those of us who are used to Infinite Crisis and Earth 619 for Marvel and, you know, 89 for, you know, all of that, you know, we're good. Or 616, I said 619, that's Rey Mysterio. you know, that... We're like, okay, timeline makes perfect sense.
Well, that's where there's some great stories going on in the comic book universe, whether it be Marvel or DC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a DC fan, you're going to be, I think, more okay with Batman versus Superman than you would be if you're just a normal person. Not that you're necessarily going to be okay. I have plenty of friends
that were not
okay. But,
oh, my goodness.
But you can accept sort of... What differences because sometimes they do that. And DC does a great job, I think, on the animated side on having totally different versions of Wonder Woman. The first time I saw Aquaman where I thought he was cool was the one where he's taking on Wonder Woman. What was that? Flashpoint Paradox?
Yeah.
Is that the one
it's on? Flashpoint Paradox. That's one of the best animated DC films.
Man, Aquaman,
one of the best.
I was sitting there watching that going, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And no offense to you DC fans that love Aquaman. I had a couple buddies growing up where they loved Aquaman. Aquaman was not my thing.
Aquaman is kind of whack.
Yeah.
Until the movie came out, which was a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I mean, I was like, that movie was going to be terrible. And then I went, but I got to see it just to know, because Black Manta looked amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, he looks dope. Mera looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, it might look cool.
He's a cool looking Aquaman.
Yeah, Jason Momoa did that.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought he should have been Lobo, but yeah, that's me.
He would make a great Lobo.
An amazing actually. Lobo. The dude looks like Lobo out of makeup.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. So, you know, it was cool, but he nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed it, and the movie was really good. Mm-hmm. I can't say it was the greatest movie ever, but
yeah, it wasn't.
It was a great movie. Wonder Woman now.
Yeah.
That was up there. Because that was, and that's, again, another one I was like, because when I saw Gal Gadot for the first time, I was like,
I don't know. I mean, she looks good. What you were thinking, right?
She looks good. I mean, she's not young. She's not. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. After I saw that movie, I was sold.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, all day.
Yeah,
you know.
I really liked Wonder Woman. Aquaman, I think I need to watch it again to enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I love his character.
Yeah.
You know?
Aquaman, I think in the movie, they did it right.
Mm-hmm.
They told a beginning origin story. They weren't trying to make sequels. It's like if they don't make another Aquaman film, it's perfectly fine. Because I'm under the belief that I don't think DC should make a universe of films, a long overarching story. I think they should just make one film. With like, if they make a film, it's not connected to any other stories. That's why I think this new Joker movie is going to be so tight.
Yeah, but that's been the problem that we've had ever since the Marvel Cinematic Universe has come around. Is it's funny, everybody wants to be that, but they don't even want to follow the simple things. Was the biggest problem with Amazing Spider-Man 2, not the first one. I liked the first one. With 2, it was trying to set up for movies versus just make a good movie. And that's how Marvel approached the. You watch Marvel, it's its own individual movie, The only point where they'd sort of tie into the other things was at the end. Once in a while, some of the stories would sort of cross over.
Right.
But for the most part, they're just making an individual movie. DC was trying to do the same thing. Everybody's trying to do all these shortcuts. Marvel didn't take a shortcut.
Yeah.
It's really simple. You want help, guys? Just make it like them. Rip them off. Start and make the individual things, and then you can bring them together without having to mention everything.
When it comes to DC, though, I don't know if I agree with that. I think DC could have taken a shorter route. It just wasn't done correctly.
Yeah.
I think they could have gotten to an infinity, the Infinite Crisis in 5 films.
Yeah, but it's 5 films.
Yeah, it would have been 5 films instead of 30.
They were starting off with Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
You know,
they're starting off
with Batman versus Superman nearly.
Yeah, but
I mean, technically there was Man of Steel before
Man
that.
Man of Steel.
But...
Exactly. I don't know why people hate on Man of Steel. Man of Steel is great. I was waiting for that film, man. Man, when Henry Cavill walked out of that comic book, I was brought tears to my eyes.
Yeah,
he looked just like Jim Lee Superman. Dude.
Oh, yeah.
And when I saw him in that costume, and I saw nothing. I put myself on a ban. When Man of Steel was out, I said, I don't want to see it. I saw Henry Cavill. I was like, okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see a suit. I want to see nothing. Best thing I ever did in my life. Movie's amazing. And Feyora is Vegeta. I don't care what nobody say, she's Vegeta. Because she was awesome. But that movie to me was great. I loved it.
Yeah.
But out of all your geek stuff that you like though, the one thing that will set you off and go ham when they bring it up is what?
Oh gosh, if you talk to my wife, she'll say too many things. Yeah. She's super supportive and awesome, by the way.
That's great. That's
great. A lot of times it will be a movie or a comic book.
Okay.
That will get us going.
Okay.
But it's harder with comic books because a lot of people don't necessarily read the comic books. So you end up not necessarily talking about that. It's for me, something like Spider-Man, you know, the Into the Spider-Verse was awesome because they finally brought Miles Morales into it. Miles Morales was someone who I already was talking about, trying to explain to people, and they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
It's comic books become harder because unless you find the other person reading that, it's hard to sometimes talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas the movies, TV shows, it's a little bit easier to geek out over on that stuff.
And I say fortunately and unfortunately, we live in a time where when people talk about superheroes, all they know are the movies.
Yes.
And I say fortunately because, like we were saying in the other segment, a lot of people didn't understand that. They're like, oh, you like comic books? You like this? What are you doing? Kids play with that. That's dumb. But then Marvel Cinematic Universe opened this door to where they let superheroes be for everybody. That's something everybody could get into. And it's something that other people relate to. Why? Because it's a movie. They're not picking up a comic book. Mm-hmm. It kind of made it a little bit cooler and neater for everybody and gave everyone something to talk about.
Yeah. Like. Well, and I think it's also become helpful because you've had other comic books that people wouldn't traditionally think. Right. Everybody, when they think of comic books, thinks of superheroes, but it's way right. more than that. Mm-hmm. And so having something like a Walking Dead take off is great because that gives you a different element of what a comic can be.
Right.
And that I think is the big thing is people don't realize, man, there's anything you want, you can find in a comic book form. Whether it be a Western or space adventure, whatever it's going to be, detective stories, it's all there. And it's one of those things where if people get past also that whole aspect of comic books for kids, which I think we've gotten pretty far past, but it's, man, there's just great stories being told. I don't understand how there are bad comic book movies, to be honest with you, because they have enough great stuff to pull from.
Yeah.
And in fact, some of the best ones are all ripoffs of comic books.
Right.
Batman versus Superman's a ripoff of Dark Knight. And then you have things like, heck, the last two Avenger movies.
Yeah.
Infinity Gauntlet. It's just straight up, you know, there's a lot of storylines. And it sort of sucks because I don't think the guys that actually originally came up with it or gals are getting the credit that they deserve necessarily. You know, they should be given like a story by credit because really they came up with this story. Nearly every X-Men movie of recent years has been based off a comic book.
They'll
give some sort of credit sometimes, but not to the full extent of what it is. I mean, these are like ripoffs of their comic book storylines.
Right.
It's like, man,
based on,
let's story by or based on this storyline of this person.
Right.
You know, these things, they have all these awesome stories that are told that they're pulling from.
Right.
And that they can pull from. There should really be no lousy. You've already figured out whether it works or not. Just grab it.
It's very true. Very true.
And it's the ones that they have done that with have been pretty great.
Yeah.
You know?
Very true. Very true. Actually, you talked about X-Men films. The newer X-Men films to me have been outstanding, even though those are dead wrong.
It's hard when Bobby, who's part of the original X-Men, is a little kid and they're adults whatever. It's hard for me to not see someone like Angel be in there. You know, now they bring him in and they sort of, it sucks because they didn't quite get into, they sort of didn't quite hit the storylines as well as they could have. Because there was
touching at all with Angel and
the
new ones.
I know that's the problem is like the whole they have these other storylines with the X Factor that are just phenomenal, and that's really where Archangel and all that stuff, you know, those elements.
Right.
There's great stories in there, and it's like, man, you're missing a lot.
Yeah.
Let's reboot them. And let's put the original X-Men back together.
Yeah, X-Men is so rich with story. It is hard to keep up. I can understand them going off of the rails with them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Because there's so much to pull from. I appreciate, and I'm super excited to see Dark Phoenix. You know my main reason is because that movie begins and they're in space.
Yeah.
Jean Grey didn't eat some Red Hot Chili Peppers and all of a sudden it activates her powers, okay, and starts disintegrating everybody. Last Stand was just an atrocious film.
Yeah,
and I mean, they had some good elements. Like I said, as far as Angel was concerned, they touched on his origin, but after that, you saw him no more.
I'm wondering, part of that probably had to do with computer graphics not being up to the level of what they are now. But still, there's some rich stories here.
Yeah,
Let's dive into those.
Exactly.
Man. They should not just waste these characters.
Yeah. I mean, they were able to do it with Iceman.
Yeah.
When he came back to his house to deal with his parents, you were able to tell his stories. You have to use his powers the whole time.
Yeah.
You could have done that same thing with Angel.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You know, there's a lot. But these new ones with McElroy as Professor X, who's been an amazing Professor X, James McAvoy, that's his name.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He's been amazing as Professor X. And just that whole team, just Magneto, gosh, X-Men Apocalypse is my favorite one thus far. I saw Storm for the first time that I thought a version of Storm that was cool. Because Halle Berry, as fine as she is, was a terrible Storm. Yeah. She was just, I mean, it looked like she was scared all the time every time she used her powers. It's like, girl, you're supposed to, like, be confident in that. Like, the new girl, she wasn't great, but she was a much better than, you know, Halle Berry was. And I felt like, all right, she got it. That's cool.
Well, it's hard because I think a lot of times you have people working on these movies that weren't fans of the comic books or don't know a whole lot about it.
That is a huge problem.
And once in a while, I think you'll get the writers or actors that the moment they get the role or they're going to go write it, you hear that they pretty much buy up all the comic books and then they start reading. And it's great to see those elements because you can have a richer story because they've pretty much figured out what works and doesn't work. And sometimes in the comic books they failed.
Right.
Well, let's remove that part. Mm-hmm. Let's find the points where it works and just give that.
Everyone who's gotten these roles and have done that have been great. And mm-hmm. that's why the movies, when they play these characters, they turn out so great. Black Panther is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
That whole crew, Ryan Coogler, it was demanded that everyone, he brought comics and the graphic novels, mm-hmm. brought them to the whole crew. So everybody knew who everybody was and who they were playing. Thank you.
Yes.
You know, even if you're not telling those exact same stories, make sure people know who the character is that they're playing, please.
Well, and you can sometimes even just drop a little something for the fan base of that.
Yeah.
That will know what you're doing.
Exactly.
You'll throw in a Donald Glover and you'll go, oh, I know who he is.
Right. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But, so, you know, I mean, all these characters, these actors that do that, I, as a fan, really appreciate that. I don't think Brie Larson did that with Captain Marvel, though.
Sadly,
I do not like Brie Larson.
Really?
I thought she was a very bad casting choice.
See, I have to like her because she's from SAC.
That's wonderful. Yay. I have friends in SAC, too. no. My friend and I, that's the one thing me and him go to bat about. I did not like Captain Marvel. I thought she was terrible. She had no presence.
That's the only one I haven't seen yet. I ordered it. It will come from England when it's ready because I watch it.
Haven't seen Captain Marvel
no,
yet?
No. And I love watching movies in 3D. So I have a 3D television.
Whoa,
so,
man. You're one of the rarities, bro.
Yeah. No, well, they don't release them here in the U.S. anymore. So I have to wait until England releases it.
Because they hurt.
That's man. You just got to get a good one.
It give me a headache, bro. Every
no way. Got my active glasses. I sit there and watch it in 3D. It's awesome,
last
man.
Last movie I saw in 3D was Tron.
Really?
The last Tron movie. And that was actually cool. Because I was like, you know what? If I'm going to watch this movie should be watched in 3D. In my mind, I was like, even though it'll hurt, but I got to watch this one in 3D. Because Tron.
Well, sadly, you know? I think a lot of times it's just they were doing 3D conversions that weren't necessarily up to the par. And then there's other times where it's phenomenal, even if it is a 3D conversion.
Yeah.
You have something like a movie like The Walk, which is based on a true story of a guy who tightropes across the Twin Towers. And it's a total heist movie. It's a great movie. But in 3D, it's even better.
Really?
Yeah, because you're standing on top of the Twin Towers looking down, and you can feel the height of it. Okay. When I saw it in IMAX, my hands were sweating.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So cool. I think it just depends how it's done. You know, that's something, as much as I think Avatar's from a level of a movie is, it's just basically Pocahontas and Ferngully combined into a movie. And here's
Last
Avatar.
Of the Mohicans.
With Last of the Mohicans.
Last
yes.
of the Mohicans.
Yes. Wherever you go, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
my problem with Avatar. Avatar's amazing.
Yeah, but if you watch it in 3D, it's still amazing. You just got to not watch it in 2D. Yeah. But James Cameron did a phenomenal job with the 3D in that because
Avatar,
he shot it for that.
Avatar looked great.
Yes.
As far as story, I was like,
That's why you need the 3D, dude.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess.
I just bought Jaws 3D, and I'm excited to watch that in 3D, man.
Yeah.
I never got to see it in 3D.
So
I'm super excited to watch that in 3D.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, 3D movies. 3D movies.
I'm like the only person left in America that watches them.
Although I've never watched them on a television before. But at the theater, it just...
73-inch television, just kicking back with active glasses, which are better than the passive because they have the shutter going back and forth over your eyes. Makes it a little richer 3D.
Really?
Yeah, it's a more expensive glasses, so they didn't do too well. Because at the time, you were talking about $700 for glasses.
You see, miss me with all that, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to spend on that.
Well, that's why we get jobs, man. That's why, man. So we can go buy 3D TVs.
Bro, I got rent to pay.
That's why you just go find someone who can buy for you.
There it is. Hey, man.
Hey, honey, go to work for me.
Yeah, right? I'll just say you going to work. You going to watch 3D movies. Yeah. So, man, thanks a lot for coming on. It was a blast talking with you, dude.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, you got to keep me updated on when you go back out and fight some crime, wherever you decide to become. That'd be kind of neat.
Oh, heck yeah.
But yeah, we got to do it again. And
well, here's the thing: if I go out there and do it, would you ever go out there?
I don't think the DMV would give me the time off to do it.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm not.
He's just so honest about it now.
And no, yeah, you'll find that out real quick about me. No,
I'll go take a photo with you in the outfit. That's about it.
All day, because one, I'm not in physical condition to do so, and second, as soon as I step out there, something gonna happen. I'll get pegged in the head with a rock that'll hit me in just the right place. You know, something crazy will happen. You know, so
okay,
yeah, I'll pass.
Cool.
But yeah, you know, not the.
He had
his
chance,
folks.
Talk,
right? Yeah, I sure did. And I've done that myself, and I'll own it. before we go out, though, give out your socials, give out your information so everybody knows what it
is. Well, the easiest way to find us is beyondgeek.com. And then through that, you can usually get to everything else. But it's Facebook's what? Beyond Geek TV. Okay. Twitter's Beyond Geek. And okay. Instagram, I think, is Beyond Geek.
Beyond Geek, yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool deal. And so go ahead and follow them on there. I know you're public television. Do you have a Patreon or anything where you're kind of raising money to do?
No, but that would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Get some support.
Yeah.
Down the line, man. I mean, I think that's cool.
Yeah, right now, the easiest way to find us is on Amazon.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah, so, Amazon Prime. Don't be like me.
Yeah.
And not get it. So contact them on there. Support the show. Leave comments. You know, I'm sure you would appreciate that.
Yep.
And for anyone listening, too, again, I'm trying to get going with more interviews and stuff. So if you liked interviews like this, please let me know in the comments below. Email at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com, Instagram at thestuffpodcastshow, and on Twitter at thestuffidw. So thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you guys next week on the Stuff Podcast Show. So that's it for this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening in and taking the time with me to talk some more about news, entertainment, life, all the different stuff that I usually talk about. You guys are so awesome, so amazing, and I really appreciate you guys. Content is growing on a constant basis, and I would love for you guys to continue spreading the word and participating in the community, the social community that I'm trying to build. I'm over on Facebook, so follow the Facebook group, The Stuff Podcast Show. You can also find me on Twitter at TheStuffIDW, on Instagram, The Stuff Podcast Show. And you can also send me an email. Give me your feedback on the shows, what you think, any show suggestions, topics, and ideas. You can always send them there, and I'll be sure to read them. And I take these suggestions and read them aloud on the What You Say Breath segment of my show. You can shoot an email to me at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you all very much, and I look forward to chatting and hanging with you guys again next week on The Stuff Podcast Show.